You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Estimates suggest somewhere between 10,000 and 20,000 Irish citizens in the Middle East, some of them there as residents, some of them vacationing, and some of them transiting through the region as part of other travels. In the latter category are John Keane and Emer Kelly, both of whom now find themselves stranded in Oman, hoping to return home, and several days of hoping to return home. Guys, you're very welcome to the programme. Emer, will you explain to us what led you to Oman?
Yeah, of course. So myself and Johnny were away on holidays. We did a couple of weeks in Thailand and Vietnam, and our best flight route was through Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. So we began our trip there and ended our trip there. And on our way home, we were due to transit through Doha back to Dublin. And mid-flight, it was announced we'd be landing in kind of 15 minutes in Muscat. And it wasn't then, of course, until we landed that we understood why that was happening. There was no kind of explanation while on the plane. And I suppose the chaos kind of unfolded from there.
What was the chaos like?
It was quite uncertain. I mean, when we landed on the runway, we couldn't get off the plane because of the capacity of the airport. There was just flight after flight landing. So we were stuck on the aircraft for about 4 hours. And for us, we couldn't get our phones working or internet access. So everyone was trying to kind of share information. And we've learned since from other passengers, they spent up to 8 hours on the runway. Then we entered the airport, joined kind of queue after queue, and we were herded onto buses, which we're very fortunate. We were taken to hotels, but that's kind of been the extent of communication from the airline. We're here and we're being put up, but no further communication at this point.
Well, the advice obviously that has been given in Ireland is that you should contact the Department of Foreign Affairs and get consular support. John, I assume you tried that. How well did you get on and what kind of support did you receive?
Yeah, we pretty much tried straight away. You know, the Sunday morning, we knew we wouldn't get through to anyone on the Saturday evening when we arrived. And, you know, the message just has kind of been the same, is contact your airline. We flew with Qatar Airways. And so it's just been contact your airline, which we've tried to do. And, you know, we've had the one tweet a day, which gets posted, I think.
Oh, I think our line has dropped there with John. Sorry, you're back.
Find out tomorrow.
You say you'll find out tomorrow whether or not you have a flight out. Is that right?
No, each day they're saying, you know, they might update us tomorrow about the situation in the airspace reopening, but it's just the same thing each day, you know.
So at this point, you have no even time frame as to when you may be able to get out of Oman?
No, not from Qatar. What we've heard, obviously, recently, last night, they announced the repatriation flights that might be going ahead. And what we notice is that it kind of focuses on the passengers in, or the people in the UAE, and they might be getting transported by bus to Oman. But it mentions kind of nothing of us who are stuck in Oman. And we're like, we're 20 minutes from the airport, you know, we're ready to go. I realize that they're focusing on vulnerable passengers, but we just like some sort of communication. And having spoken with the consulate here in Oman and the Department of Foreign Affairs, they haven't really given us clear updates. We're kind of just stuck in limbo, really.
Now, Emer, a lot of people will sympathise with travel disruptions. If you go back to the volcanic ash cloud, there were people stranded around the world trying to find their way home to where they were from. But it is one thing to have travel disruptions. It's another to find yourself adjacent to a war zone because of your travel disruptions. How frightening is the situation?
Yeah, I suppose the first thing is we do want to acknowledge that Oman is, you know, somewhat safer than some other countries in the Gulf region. So in terms of hearing missiles and that sort of activity, we've been relatively sheltered from that. But that doesn't take away from the stress and anxiety of the situation. Obviously, the conflict is, you know, unfolding. And, you know, I wake during the night, I check my phone to make sure that we are still safe. So we acknowledge, you know, there's people in different scenarios to us, but it's certainly stressful and anxiety inducing here.
And I imagine your families are very concerned as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our families have been fantastic. They're doing as much work as we are to try find a solution and to help us contact, you know, the relevant people. But I think at this stage, you know, I want my mom to be able to sleep again and we just want to get home.
And John, what about the supports that you're getting from the airline in terms of things like food, clothing, access to your luggage, all of that?
So thankfully, you know, the hotel we've been put up in is great and we've been fed, you know, three times a day. We had a bit of trouble with the luggage, which was we didn't have access to that for about, you know, 3 days. We managed to get it yesterday. But it's just kind of the communication aspect from the airline. And even the hotel itself, we had to find out through other passengers that are stuck here that our bags were being transported from the airport to another facility and that we can go collect them. We were then, you know, able to go collect them. And we found out later, a couple hours, that the rest of the bags that hadn't been collected were going to be dropped to our hotels. So it's kind of just a game of whispers, you know, so no one really knows anything. Thankfully, we've been able to, you know, create like a community of people that are also stuck. And we kind of like forged a good bond there and had a few good, you know, chats and nights. But, you know, the thing that's kind of making the two of us quite anxious now is they're all seeming to get, you know, flights out with their embassies. And, you know, we feel like we're going to be the last two kind of stuck here.
I get the sense that by comparison, you don't think the Irish Foreign Affairs support has been great.
Yeah, I think just for our case in particular, you know, we understand that it's like it's difficult because they're dealing with, you know, much more stressful situations in the UAE and countries like that that are dealing with bombs. But we're just feeling like we're kind of not being communicated with at all, even though, you know, we're in an open airspace that can kind of get out here. So, yeah, I think it's just the communication aspect of it.
Well, hopefully that improves. John, thank you. Likewise, thank you to Emer. That is John Keane and Emer Kelly joining us there from Oman.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.